For those that don't know, is Luke Radford, the church secretary here. Our minister Richard and his wife Fiona are away on holiday for the next couple of weeks, so it's great to welcome Jill and Will from St. Nick's. So thank you for coming to be with us this morning, and please take our greetings back to the congregation at St. Nick's as well. Today is what we call Serving Sunday, so it's where our Ignite youth group help with various tasks around the church during the service. So thank you to all of those that are involved. Please thank them when you see them afterwards. But perhaps if you're feeling a little bit left out and you'd like to get involved in something here in the life of Newbury Baptist Church, there are some leaflets that look like this that are on the desk just as you come in, detailing a few of the opportunities where we've got particular need at the moment. So perhaps take one of those, see if there's something you'd like to be involved with, but otherwise please do pray for those aspects of church life. One notice for church members is that we will be holding a members' meeting on the 16th of July. If you quickly calculate, that is next Sunday. We just need to make a decision on one matter, and there'll be details coming out for those by email later this afternoon, detailing what's happening there. If you're not on email and you've given us details in the past, I'll put the notes in your pigeonhole after the service today. So that is a members' meeting, 16th of July, and it will be at 11:30 a.m. That's the official bit done. And then finally, just to say, we will be sharing communion at the end of the service today. We'll take up a communion offering, and that's entirely free will, but it will be for the work of Newbury Samaritans. And you're welcome, whether you have a faith or don't have a faith, whether you're just exploring with us or a regular here, to stay and for part of that service. If you're not a Christian, then please just let the bread and the wine pass you by. We'll explain that bit again at the end. I'll hand over now to Jill and to Will, but let me just pray for you as I do say. Father God, we thank you for your servants, Jill and Will, this morning. We thank you that you have been speaking to them through the weeks as they've prepared. And we pray that as they speak to us this morning, we would hear your voice speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. It is a privilege for Will and I to be here. I was asked months ago, and at the time went, oh my goodness, that's like going into someone else's home. And he has a different rhythm and a different routine. And so Luke's had a lot of emails back and forth going, give me something to work with, please. So thank you very much for having us. We know some of your faces. We've seen you at some of the combined church events around Newbury. So, and please come and talk to us afterwards. We would love to get to know you. Just so that you just very, very briefly... I have a funny accent. I am not from around here. Will and I moved here from Tasmania, Australia, nearly 2 years ago. We came with four children, now aged 13 to 20. And we love the nation that God has brought us to. It is a privilege and an honour to be His in this country. And it is wonderful to be caught up in what He is doing here in Newbury. Will and I have heard bits and pieces as we've met with Richard of what God has been doing amongst you. Been hearing of how about discipleship and prayer and how you are being drawn closer to God through those things. And so as Newbury Baptist and being part of your family today, let's focus on the one who has brought us all here today. So as you think on the week that's just gone, where have you encountered God? Where did you see our Heavenly Father's face? Maybe you missed Him and just didn't realize it was Him. Over the past 24 hours, where have you seen the face of Jesus? Where did you see the Holy Spirit move? Maybe it was through creation. We are blessed to be His and live in the knowledge that He is in every day, that every day is a gift from Him. And whatever season we're in and whatever circumstance, He's faithful to us. In Lamentations 3:22 and 23, We hear the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So in this new day and going into a new week, let us rejoice and be glad in who our God is. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you that your presence is with us. Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that you bring every new day to us, and that you are already in it, you go before us. Lord, draw us to yourself as we meet with you this day. Let's stand and sing together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let us glorify God's name together. Father, thank you that we live in a country where we can glorify you in freedom. Father, we bless your name. Move in us in your name. Amen. Now, you're going to have to tell me what is normal for this part. Do children usually come forward? Then let's do that. I'm guessing what? From the age of 11 and down? And any that are young at heart? I'm going to sit on the top step. I hope that if you can't see me, that's okay. Oh, scary. And Will is going to be my beautiful assistant. Now, I've heard that your wonderful Pastor Richard has been talking to you a lot about prayer. And I have this book here called Teach Me How to Pray that talks a lot about prayer. But in this, there's bits and pieces that will come up, and I think Will probably show some of what is done. So let's just read the story. And we'll see how we go, okay? The children found their mother and asked her how to pray. I know, said the mother. You have to be really, really quiet. Shh. So they were all really very, very quiet. But nothing happened. And they could not pray. The children and their mother found their children's father and asked him how to pray. I know, said the father. You have to kneel down. So they all knelt down and were very, very quiet. But nothing happened. And they could not pray. The children and their mother and their father found the children's grandpa. And asked him how to pray. I know, said Grandpa. You have to put your hands together. What do you think? Do you think that makes it work?
Yeah.
Wow, a bit of a mixture here, an opinion. So they all put their hands together and they knelt down and were very, very quiet. But nothing happened and they could not pray. Oh dear. The children and their mother and their father and their grandpa found the children's grandma and asked her how to pray. Wise grandma. I know, said the grandma. You have to close your eyes. So they all closed their eyes and they put their hands together and they knelt down and were very, very quiet, but nothing happened. And they could not pray. The children and their mother and their father and their grandpa and their grandma found the nice lady next door and asked her how to pray. I know, said the lady. You have to go to church. So they all went to church and they closed their eyes and they put their hands together and they knelt down and were very, very quiet. But what do you think happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. And they still could not pray. The children and their mother and their father and their grandpa and their grandma and the nice lady next door found the pastor and asked him how to pray. Go, pastor. I know, said the pastor, but it's not what you think. She's fine. Let her go. Being quiet is really splendid. It's really good. Can be good to be quiet, yeah. And kneeling down and putting your hands together and closing your eyes and going to church are all fine, good things to do. But if you want to talk with God, you must learn to listen. Listen, said the little girl. Just listen, said the little boy. Really listen, said the pastor. So the children and their mother and their father and their grandpa and their grandma and the nice lady next door and the pastor all listened. And then they knew God was with them. And they prayed. I can listen to God at church, said the boy. Bet you didn't know that. Or at home, said the little girl. When I'm quiet, said the mother. Or when I'm loud, said the father. Sorry, Clara. When I kneel, said their grandpa. Or, I want to see Will do this one. When I do cartwheels. No, I don't think so. Please don't. With my eyes closed or with them open. When they all clapped their hands and they made a lot of noise and they leapt about and they waved their arms around and they sang and they danced and they laughed and they hugged because they'd learned how to pray. Now, if all of you, if just for one moment, we can put our hands together and close our eyes and just listen and we'll pray. Closing our eyes and putting our hands together actually just helps us keep focused. Thank you, God, for teaching us to listen. Help us to hear your voice and to see you every day. And thank you that we can pray anywhere, anytime. Amen. Thank you, Will. Wasn't he great? I think he needs a hand. Now, I believe you all go out to your groups now. Is that right? Yeah. Can I? I'm going to pray for all the children as they go out and for all those that work with them. Lord God, I thank you that out of the mouths of children and infants, you ordain praise. Lord God, bring open hearts, open ears, open minds. Protect them, guard them, keep them, and embrace them in your love. Let them encounter you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And really, this song is what it's like to pray. It's called Everlasting God, and it's a strength of life to wait upon the Lord. So let's stand and sing.
Forever. today is from John 17, chapter 20 to 26. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of you may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make them known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, our heavenly Father, we come to praise you this morning, to give you glory and honor, to thank you for all you have done for us, to celebrate your amazing love. We thank you for the freedom we have to worship you, to openly rejoice in our faith, to share your word with one another, and for this, the privilege of prayer. We pray this morning for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world who do not have the same freedom in those places where following you is so costly, who worship silently and meet in secret in fear of persecution. We praise you for their faithfulness in adversity, for their courage, perseverance, and endurance. We ask you to protect them, strengthen, and embolden them. May they be secure in your love and encouraged by the knowledge of our support and prayers, that they are one with us. Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters meeting together now in the various church fellowships across our town. Thank you for their steadfast witness, for all the ways they serve as salt and light, at home, in the workplace, and in our schools. Please bless and encourage them, and prosper the work that makes you known in our community. Will you help us to seek out and develop opportunities to serve you together, so that together we may be a blessing to our town, a united voice demonstrating your love and hope and purposes in this place, that we indeed may be one in you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bring to you those facing difficult times, for the homeless, the lonely, the fearful, for all those in crisis today. We pray that they will find hope, help in the right place, and a new way forward. We thank you for the work of Loose Ends and the Samaritans, for all those who offer help, support, friendship, and understanding, who stand in the gaps in our society. We ask you to sustain them and help them to continue to show your mercy, love, and compassion to those in need. Loving Father, we now bring to you those we know who are unwell, those in hospital or awaiting test results or receiving ongoing medical treatment. We put them in your hands again. We trust them to you, gracious God, for healing, comfort, mercy, and peace. We pray for Cindy Sarney for a full and swift recovery, so that he will be well enough to return home soon. We pray for John Pargeter, for relief from pain, that all will be well. We continue to pray for Charity Rankin, thanking you that her treatment so far has gone to plan, and asking that the remaining chemotherapy sessions will go well, with no significant or troubling side effects. We remember again Dorothy, Jackie Holly's mum, still so poorly in hospital. We pray for the medical team that they will be wise in making decisions about her treatment and we ask for comfort and reassurance for Jackie and the family throughout these days of anxiety and uncertainty. And finally, we pray for those we know who are living with long-term or life-limiting conditions, and for the families who love and care for them. We lift before you Richard Westall, Jane Billington, and Fiona Littledale. As they face the challenges of each day, Lord God and Father, will you be their strength and inspiration? In the dark days, when they are weary, will you be their strength, their joy, and their light? May they be aware of your loving arms, always surrounding and upholding them. And will you give them your peace, patience, and enough energy to cope with the demands of each day? And will you help us, gracious God, to know how best to help and support them in the coming days? Almighty and everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, in your mercy hear these our prayers, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word to us. It's a light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. Do I get to be on camera too? No? Ah, missing out. It's great to be here. If you've got your Bibles with you, keep them open at John 17. It's a wonderful part of the Bible, and we'll be going there in just a minute. But I just want to echo what Jill said at the beginning. It's great to be able to be part of the service here this morning. One of the joys we've had in being here is how close St. Nick's and Newbury Baptist work together. And it's great joy for me because my roots back in Tasmania have significant Baptist moments. I was a part of the youth group when I grew up in the rural town near the dairy farm on which I grew up. Was a Baptist church, and I went to the youth group. And of course, back then, I was a young lout, and I had long hair and a broken car that I drove too fast. But it was in that time that God really moved and touched me. And there was a time when I went forward at a tent crusade and gave my life to the Lord again, and I needed to. And because of that, I was put into a follow-up group with Pastor John from the Baptist Church, Pastor John Taylor, who it just so happens was born in Wantage. And he introduced me to a little book for new Christians called The Survival Kit. You can almost have to use the American accent to say it, The Survival Kit. And it was rather pathetic, really. It was one of those sort of big books with little childish writings in it and sort of, you know, fill in the blanks. You know, what does John 3:16 say? For God so, loved. And so a little bit cringeworthy. But I tell you what, it was because of that little booklet that I got to open the Bible, you know, and flip through it, desperately trying to find Psalms without looking in the index. But for the first time, I read the Bible. And I encountered God's word. And it was a word that blew my mind. Suddenly I saw on the pages of Scripture a heart that resonated with my own. I saw longings and yearnings that tapped into my own longings and yearnings. I saw read words that reached in and encouraged me and strangely convicted me and made me feel weird, but it became a living word because through this silly little survival kit. Where else can you see written down the real words of a real God who really moved in a real world, in a real place in history? You read these words and they tap into both the great mysteries of the universe and at the same time, they are real. And part of our lives. This is what I encountered when I read this little survival kit. And today's passage from John 17 is almost the height of this. Now, I understand that you guys have been going through looking at different passages about prayers in the Bible and Moses and David and Mary and the Lord's Prayer. And here in John 17, we have another Lord's Prayer. It's not the official Lord's Prayer with a capital L and a capital P, but it is a prayer of the Lord. It is His prayer. It's a prayer that He prayed, and in it we get to hear His words and His heart as He prays to His Father. This is exactly where those words of Scripture come alive, and we tap into the depths of it. And we're going to get to the content of that prayer in a minute. But as we begin, I want you to look at the manner of this prayer, the dynamic of it. Because here is a prayer of Jesus, and there's an intimacy in it. Not a mushy, gushy intimacy, but an intimacy nonetheless. A good analogy is I see it sometimes when I see a parent who has an adult child in a healthy relationship. Sometimes when you see an adult child caring for their elderly mother or father, there may not be great big hugs and affection, but sometimes you get a glimpse of a subtle intimacy, a closeness, a knowledge of one another. There's a sense of one to the other, I know who you are, so let us talk. I know who you are. It's the intimacy of knowledge that's subtle and profound. And in this prayer, you have that same sort of intimacy. And it's not just the vibe of it. Jesus says in verse 25, I know you, Father. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them. I know you, Father. And that's why there's power and passion in this prayer. Because he's not praying from incomprehension. He's praying from understanding. Father, I know you. I know your will. I know your heart. I know your will. Now your will be done. And we echo those words sometimes, don't we? We say it in the Lord's Prayer, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But often we use it in our prayers as something of an escape clause. Lord, we pray for this person in this circumstance, please do this and that and the other. But we really don't know what you want, so in the end, your will be done. It's like an escape clause. But here we see it used differently. Rather, it's your will be done as a positive petition. Lord, you have shown me your will. You have shown us what you want. We know who you are. We know your passion. We know your purposes. Now, Lord, do it. Do your will. May your will be done. It's a positive proclamation that reaches into the very heart and passion of God. And in this positive prayer, this God-aware prayer of intimate knowledge, we see the heart of Christ. And it's a profound thing. And one of the things in which makes it so profound is that when we look into this positive prayer of Jesus, reflecting the will of the Father, what do we find? We find us. We find us in the heart of this prayer. In John 17, Jesus has been praying for his friends, his disciples, and he's prayed for their protection, he's prayed for their sanctification, he's prayed for them to grow. And then in this passage, we find us. Not metaphorically, not symbolically, not allegorically. We find us, exactly us. Verse 20, if you've got your Bibles open, in the translation I have, it says this, my prayer is not just for my disciples, Jesus says. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. And that's us. That's a long-haired lout from the back of a rural town in Tasmania right there. That's a whole bunch of Baptists in Newbury right there. It's even a whole bunch of Church of England folk. That's us right there. We're the ones who have believed in him through the message of the disciples. That's us. We're in the Bible. Who knew? And Jesus is praying for us. He is praying. And this is how he prays. And we can sum it up in one simple word. He prays for unity. He prays for unity. And he does so in a way that not only informs who we are as Christians working together, but also informs the way in which we are called to pray in the same spirit of Jesus. Let's unpack that just quickly. The theme of unity is obvious. Jesus prays for us, and he asks this. In verse 21, he says, "Father, that all of them may be one, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Lord, may all of them be one. And the importance of Christian unity here is paramount. Without the unity, the gospel is impaired. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, he talked about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. This is why when someone unknowingly asks me, "So which faith do you belong to?" I sort of wince on the inside. There's only one faith. There's only one gospel. There's only one Lord. And the words of the Nicene Creed, if you know that, the statement of faith from 325 AD, is the one statement that I think is agreed to by every single Christian denomination, from the Greek Orthodox through to whoever's the other extreme. And it says this, declares the church to be one holy universal apostolic church. One. Unity. And the sadness, of course, is that in the course of Christian history, there have been fractures since that time in 325 AD. The tree of the church, if you like, with its solid root in the gospel, has had limbs and then branches and then it's fractured. And of course, in different ways, that can be very hurtful. In Australia, I was working in rural towns, and within living memory was those towns which had the great big Protestant, Catholic, and conformist and non-conformist divides. And it wasn't academic. You couldn't go out with someone from the other side of town. You couldn't marry across those boundaries. And it was hurtful. But if there's anything I've learned, is that God answers prayer. And Jesus here prays for unity. And there's an assurance and an affirmation in that. And I think it's this. I believe that Christ's prayer is being answered. And it doesn't mean an institutional coming back together again. What it means is that the differences are by the power of the Spirit being turned into diversity. And when I've tried to express this, I think it goes like this. Yes, we may have been a tree that split into branches and limbs, but then it's twigs and leaves. And now the church may have started off as one trunk, but now it's one canopy, each expressed in its different ways. And I see it here. I see it in Newbury. I see it in CTNA. I see it in the fact that you're willing to have a Church of England vicar stand in front of you and talk. I see it in a way in which we can see that Christ's prayer is being answered. And he speaks of us when he says this. Verse 22, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And then the world will know that you sent me. And I have loved them even as you have loved me." The more there is unity, the more that we reflect the gospel, the more that we see how God, Christ's prayer is being answered, we will see that Newbury will not be bypassed spiritually. But Newbury will be known for Jesus. We will see his glory. Lord, as your people bring us together, give us stronger unity. Lord, your will be done as we see it here today, and we can say with Christ, Amen. But as a final thing, it's not just unity for unity's sake. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's unity in each other. But only because it's unity in our one Lord and one Saviour. And it's the heart of Jesus that we should share not just with each other, but that we should share in him. Just quickly, verse 24, it says this, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me." Verse 26, "Continue to make yourself known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." He prays that we would be with him in glory. He prays that he himself would be in us. And here's a profound thing. Jesus prays for unity. He prays for unity of us with him, and it's in prayer that his prayer is answered. So I want to finish by going to a place where theologians dare to tread. And this is something that I had to pick up when I was working with Iranian refugees who had come out of the Muslim faith. They had been Islamic. And they'd come to us, and of course the big thing they tripped over was the Trinity. And so I had to learn how to explain the Trinity using Google Translate, because I didn't understand Iranian. And I think it reveals something of what it means for us to pray. And the understanding of the Trinity can go like this. We start with God the Father. God the Father, and because he has the character of a father, wishes to pour himself out. Now we know as parents, those of us who are parents, that being a parent is not just about giving one's DNA, it's about giving one's character. It's about pouring out your hopes, your dreams, your wisdom, your learning, your purpose, your passion. It's about pouring that out. So God the Father is one who pours himself out eternally and perfectly. There is an outpouring of himself. And that is such that the one who is poured out into, because it's eternal and perfect, so fully reflects him that he himself is of the same essence. The Father begets the Son eternally and continually. And now the pouring out has power. The pouring out goes forth as the will of God and is creative. The Father pours out his purpose. Let there be light. And the Son says, yes and amen. And the power of that union goes forth and there is light. The Father says, let us make man and woman in our own image. And the Son says, yes and amen. And the power goes forth and breath comes into Adam and Eve. As the Father pours himself out into the Son, the very dynamic of that relationship is creative. And then to a broken world, the Father says, let's go and rescue it. Let's go and be with them. Let's go and be a part of who they are. And the Son says, yes and amen. And the power of the Spirit goes forth and rests on the womb of a young woman. And the very pouring out of God is now poured out into her belly, into our community, into our life, and the Son of God becomes one of us. And now we see, let's make ourselves a people. And the Son says, yes and amen, your will be done. Let them be one as we are one. Let them share in our glory. Let them be filled with our Spirit. And you can see how the prayers of Jesus aren't just little petitions sent up. They are caught up into the very relationship of who God is. So as Jesus prays and calls us to unity in him, what he is calling us to is to be able to pray from within the very heartbeat of God. So as the will of the Father is revealed, the yes and amen of the Son is in us. And as we pray in him, the same Spirit that made the earth, the same Spirit that brought forth the incarnation is the same Spirit that works through our prayers so that his will be done in this earth. So Jesus prays for unity, not just one with another, but with him, for there is the power of prayer. And to which I can only say in answer to that, amen. Thanks be to God. We're going to sing now a song, Salvation Belongs to Our God. Let this be our yes and amen as we reflect the heart of the Father.
Would you like to stand?
Please do take a seat. Thank you to Will and for Jill for sharing with us this morning, for all you've put in and shared of yourselves with us today. It's hugely appreciated and encouragement to us. It was interesting she picked up on that idea of one. And as Christians, we gather, and particularly this morning, we are from diverse backgrounds, different experiences of church. A different journey has brought us to the point that we're at this morning. And the churches perhaps that we've grown up in and the traditions that we've adopted have different rules, different ways of doing things. And yet this morning as we come and we share communion together, it is because there is one God. And he had one and only son who went to the cross to pay the price for our sin, that we may enter into God's presence and call him Abba Father. That we may have that experience that we'll finish with of him pouring out his love to us, of knowing us by name and wanting us to sit in his presence and listen to him. And so I find it hugely encouraging and great that this morning we can say that if that description is of you, of somebody that has found yourself at the foot of the cross, recognizing that there are things in your life that you have done wrong, and that you need to acknowledge God as Lord and Saviour, then this is an open table. We invite you to share with us. But as I said at the start, perhaps that's not a place that you find yourself in this morning. And if so, please do talk with me or to Will or Jill or any of the other members of the church here, and we'd be more than happy to explain our experiences and how our faith is not just that of a dusty book and tradition, but is about a real relationship with the living God. We read these words in Corinthians. It says, "When you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray and give thanks for the bread. Lord, I thank you that you are the true and living God, that you sent your one and only Son, and he, Jesus, was prepared to go to the cross to die, that my sins would be forgiven, that I could call you Abba Father, that I can enter into your presence, and that you know me by name. Lord, as we take this bread this morning, as a symbol of what has happened on the cross, remind us of those that have trod a path with us and brought us to a point where we have a faith of our own. Lord, we thank you that Jesus was prepared to go through and do what you asked of him. We thank you for that gift, greater than no other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you receive the bread, then please do take and eat it. We recognize that our faith is one of individuals. It's a personal decision that we have made.
Thank you.
A couple of weeks ago, we looked with the group in Ignite at the covenant that God made with Abraham. And we looked at those around us who we trust. And Richard was relieved to know that he is trusted. And we're confident of who he is and what he says. We thought about people that we trust implicitly. We don't think about it, but air traffic controllers were a good example of day by day. Probably don't even recognize them doing their jobs, but we trust them because of the positions that they hold. And we think about the promises that each of us make on a daily basis, promises that at times we know we will break them, even as we're making them. But in Jesus' blood pouring out and the sealing of that covenant, it's a promise that won't be broken. We can have a trust that the words that we read in the Bible are true, and the promise of the gift of eternal life is sealed in such a way that it is a promise that will not and cannot be broken. And as we take the cup this morning, we hold on to it because we recognize also that together we are part of the body. When one suffers, we suffer together. When one celebrates and sees good things happening, we celebrate and rejoice together. So please do hold the cup until all have been served, and then we will drink together. So as we take that cup, we proclaim that Jesus died and that he rose again. Amen. So as we finish, we sing a final song this morning. And as we do say, as he said, an offering will be taken up to the work of Newbury Samaritans. That song is Crown Him with Many Crowns. So let's stand together as we sing.
Oh,
So Lord God, as we finish our time here this morning, we thank you that this is not the end of the week or of your love to us, but it is the beginning of a new week, of a journey with you. Lord, we thank you for all the good gifts that you give to us, some of which have been placed into this bag and this offering this morning. Take it and use it. Magnify and glorify the work that is done because it is done in your name. Lord, we pray for the work of Newbury Samaritans, for those that are an ear to hear, those in desperate and difficult times. May they show your love in all that they do. And for each one of us, Lord, this morning, may this not have been an academic exercise of sitting and listening but not responding. Through this week, show us the opportunities where we can declare your majesty. We can declare who you are to us in the conversations we have and in the busyness of our lives. May something of you shine through. Lord, we thank you that this morning we have been able to return to the cross and to recognize that you are indeed crowned with many crowns, the Lord of all. And may that be evident through our lives this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.